Shabbat Shalom. I've entitled it Swan Song. The final weekly parasha is entitled V'zot HaBracha, meaning, and this is the blessing, and completes the annual cycle of Torah readings. Shortly before his death, Moses pronounces a blessing over the 12 tribes, a reiteration of what Jacob had prophesied over his 12 sons almost five centuries earlier. The two blessings contain some differences, and some of them are worth noting this morning. The most obvious is that whereas Jacob conferred judgment on some of his sons, there is only blessing here. Also, Simeon's name does not appear in Moses' blessing. This is because Shimon's land inheritance was eventually subsumed in Judah. And this is consistent with Shimon and Levi being told together by Jacob that they would be scattered throughout Israel. In both blessings, Joseph, is called the one distinguished among his brothers. Messiah's human ancestry may trace from the line of Judah, but his character, his humility, wisdom, willingness to forgive his own brothers who disowned him, are reminiscent of Joseph. And so one of Messiah's titles is Ben Yosef, the one who suffers, though innocent, and goes on to become the very source of their salvation. Something very interesting about Levi appears in chapter 33. In verse 9, Moses says of Levi, who said of his father and mother, I did not consider them, and he did not acknowledge his brothers, nor did he regard his own sons, for they observed your word and kept your covenant. Moses was not advocating that we dishonor our parents or abandon our children. Rather, he was reminding us that the Levites were the only ones loyal to God back at that time of the golden calf incident, and that they obeyed God's command and even put to death some of their own. There were 3,000 rebellious Israelis that had to be put to death that day. And so the Levites put God ahead of even their own greatest affections. In chapter 34, Adonai summons Moses up Mount Nebo. He allows him to have a brief panoramic view of the promised land, reminding him that he won't be going in, but will die atop the mountain. I wonder, did Moses let the people know that he wouldn't be returning, but that he would die on the mountain? If so, can you imagine the sadness of such a send-off? I find it fascinating that for the third and final time, God and Moses are alone on a mountain together at a very pivotal time. It was on a mountaintop that God commissioned Moses to return to Egypt and deliver Israel. It was on a mountaintop that God gave him the tablets of the law. And now on this mountain, God allows him to view the promised land before he dies. Of course, Moses eventually did arrive in Israel, again on a mountain, when he appeared with Elijah at Yeshua's transfiguration. So he made it in. Moses dies atop Mount Nebo in the land of Moab, and scripture says God buried him there, but that no man knows his burial place. The signs and wonders that God sent Moses to perform were, as of the time of the completing of the Torah, unparalleled in Israel. Yet of all the things that might be said in Moses' honor, none is so telling as the statement that God knew Moses face to face. The very last verses of the Torah are set apart as a reminder that what was promised back in chapter 18 had not yet taken place. God had promised to one day raise up a singular, extraordinary prophet like Moses, and that this one would speak the words of God, and that Israel must give him unqualified obedience. But the Torah ends with these words: since that time, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, for all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to perform. So we've come to the end of the Torah, and we're left still waiting for that one. In synagogues around the world, our people have come to the end of this very same Torah and are left waiting and wanting. Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, announced that the wait was over when he declared, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." V'zot HaBracha is Moses' swan song. It represents the conclusion of his earthly life. But if you'll take his words seriously and believe on the Messiah, the one of whom he spoke, it will mark the beginning of your eternal life.